Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Hi, good morning to you. Jared Cameron and John Ritchie. Wait till you hear, and we'll get to some of them coming up this segment. Some of the notable poll results from our year. You know, we're kind of getting into year-end review mode. Tomorrow we'll do the drop of the year with many of the contenders that have a shot to win drop of the year. Today we're going through the poll results over the year and giving you some of the notable ones about all the teams that stand out. So we'll get to that coming up shortly. Jason Kelce with us in 10 minutes. Let's hear from LeSean McCoy. You know, he said something yesterday on FS1, really pumping up this present-day team. I don't think he's right. He's close to right, because the Eagles are close to being this year as good as they've ever been, but I don't think this is as good as they've ever been. LeSean, though, thinks it is. Here's what he said.
But this is the best Eagles team I've ever seen.
You're not wrong about that.
I mean, let's be honest,
it's
here.
It's hard to find a hole in them.
The defense is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yep.
You got an all-pro, almost MVP in the backfield. Yep. Saquon Barkley is doing his thing.
No question.
This is the best. Don't get mad at me, all my Kelce. You know you my favorite. Jason Kelce, you know what I mean? Yep. This is the best offensive line I've ever seen. Ever seen in football.
In Philly.
Y'all tell me.
So that
they pass block great. They run block great. I mean, they do everything.
Because
they got size, they got speed, they athletic, they got tackles, they got guard, they got center.
And because it's
they got backups. Okay, the tight end is really, really good.
Yeah.
Then the wide receivers, I've never seen a better wide receiver tandem in Philadelphia.
Ooh,
right? And I love my
J-Mac and Deshaun?
Mac is my best friend.
That's
one of my best friends.
DJ
one of my best friends. I just got to be honest.
These two dudes different.
You know what I mean?
These two dudes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm nice, but Saquon had a better year than I ever had in Philadelphia. I got to be honest, right?
That's high praise from LeSean McCoy. I would put this team below, you know, a couple. 2017, 04, 22. I can't speak to the 80 thing. I was too young. But look, they're up there. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're up there. Yeah, I mean, look, they're up there.
A lot of time.
They could be.
They might be.
They might, at the end of the day, we might end up saying that's the best Eagles team of all time.
James, we were talking earlier, what pumps you up for this team to win the Super Bowl this year? Give me an answer here. What give, and this is for everyone at 215-592-9494. 2 months until the Super Bowl, roughly. Less than 2 months, technically. James, what gives you the most confidence this could be the year?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot. Like, they have the best defense in football, statistically, talent-wise. They're what Shady just said, all the talent around the field. But it's the attitude of this team. It's the ability to create motivation. Again, we had players create their own motivation by speaking out and then us against the world for stuff they said. Like, that's a special thing when teams can find ways to create motivation from nothing. I think in football, if you want it more than the guy in front of you, you got a really good chance to beat the guy in front of you. And this Eagles team, they feel like they want it more and they motivate that
way. Well, Jordan was one of those guys that found ways to.
And I took that personally.
It. Yeah.
You know?
Find it. There's no question. Ray, this is quite a team.
And to James's point, they had won 9 in a row, but A.J. Brown knew, and he referenced last season, they were 10-1 and the wheels fell completely off.
Yep.
The Eagles had won 9 in a row, and he goes, we can't do what we need to do unless the passing game gets right. It was a pointed comment, and you know what they did? They focused on it. They went out and did it.
They did. No, they sure did. All right, so look, a lot to chew on. Obviously, so much of it is so positive with this team playing the way they are. 215-592-9494. It's also an anniversary of something really great in Philadelphia sports. We'll get to that coming up shortly. Jason Kelce joins us in about 10 minutes. Let's go to Rich in Mullica Hill. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great, Rich.
So I wanted to chat about the birds, and I hope this wasn't discussed because I was on hold a little bit. Mm-hmm. So when you're winning this many games in a row, does that concern you that, like, ultimately, like, not that many teams have won, like, upwards of 17 games in a row? And does that worry
you? By the way, the Dolphins might be the only one. We'd have to look it up, but I would imagine the Dolphins are probably the only team in NFL history to finish a season on a 17-game winning streak. Now, I could be wrong.
I think you're correct. I'm almost positive.
Patriots and Colts both got into the 20s, and that obviously overlapped one season into the next. We just have to know when theirs ended the next year and when it began the certain year. But anyway, I hear you. Rich, I'm not worried about it. And John brought up a point a couple weeks ago, and I agree with it. The way they played, well, 2 weeks ago, I think helped Sirianni and Hurts and the guys. Look, they dug in on themselves. So it's almost like they experienced losing the aspects without the loss.
Yeah.
Adversity. Yeah, exactly.
There was adversity sprinkled into their structure, their schedule, and they had to band together to get over it, get around it, come out the other side. And I thought for sure that it would be more of a distraction against the Steelers than it was. I thought that was a miraculous performance with the distraction in mind that we just stepped right through like it was nothing.
Yeah.
This team is so emotionally strong. They're so bonded in ways that I can't even process myself because we didn't even try to bond in those ways once upon a time.
Right. Rich, two things I think really bode well for the Eagles, and this is going to sound strange, but I believe it. The loss in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, the collapse last year. I think that has helped them have extra reinforcement to use a Rocky term, go the distance. You know, I really believe that. Rich, give me a great answer. What was a tough choice in a movie, show, or book?
I hope it wasn't said, but I'm going to go Sully.
Wow. Well, that's real life. I'll get fictional. We got to go fictional. I know that's in a movie, but we referenced earlier it's got to be fictional, not from real life. Give me a different answer.
That's a tough one.
All right, buddy. All right, Rich. We appreciate the call, man. 215-592-9494. So sometimes the Twitter poll questions can be
demanding. Ask.
Well,
there.
You know.
Hey, no. Fictional.
Yeah.
Give it to me now.
Listen
it
to the show.
I have no ability to do that.
James,
it's so hard for me to think of these things.
I know it is.
My brain does not process these at all.
I know they don't. You know what cracked me up, James, when his call, and Rich, a good guy and a great caller there. He's like, I've been on hold. I hope you guys haven't mentioned this. You can hear the show on hold.
I know.
I thought of that.
I always get that. Yeah.
I mean, like, what am I missing?
So you're just tuning out, like, on hold? Is that what's happening?
I was baffled by that. All right. So, John, I got in front of me here Twitter polls from the year. We're going to have some fun over the next couple hours looking back.
Ooh.
At some of the notable Twitter
polls. I think it's amazing that you keep track of these.
Well,
that's
no.
part of the amazing.
Well, shout out to Joe Wachter.
Wachter. This is all Wachter. I asked Wachter a couple days ago. I'm like, hey, go through them all and find those that are compelling, that people got right or people got wrong.
Ooh.
Shows the swing of emotional,
sure.
You know. All right. This one is wild. Okay? Wild.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think the Eagles will become a good team this year?
Oh, great.
The choices are yes or no. Now,
I'm not going to tell you the date.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you the date afterwards, just because I want to have a little.
I think I have a vague memory of this one.
James, how do you think people voted? Do you think this will become a good team?
I think it's like 70% no or something.
Okay,
like that.
It's 61% no. Okay. Ready for the date?
It's like week three or
October
something?
October 17th.
Even
no
later.
Way.
Like week six or something.
Hold on a second. So,
I guess they're 3-2, maybe 4-2, maybe 3-2. But like they had the 2-2, then they had a couple ugly wins.
Well, the Browns, yeah, it's such an ugly win out of
there
that.
There was
a
buy in there and a Browns win that was ugly. So they're probably like 3-2 at this point. But we're all in a bad mood.
Wow.
Do you think because also at a similar date, October 15th, the question was the Eagles are a blank team. 74% said average, 10% said good.
Wow.
14% said bad.
Wow.
15 if you round up. That's pretty wild. All right, let's go back earlier in the year. Jason Kelce will join us shortly. Let's go back earlier in the year and give you a different one. Let's give you at the end of the season when it was over. Do you want Sirianni fired right after they lost to the Bucs? Now, I said the last bunch of months I thought it was 71%. John, it was higher. 79% wanted Sirianni fired.
Jeez.
So just you know, for what that's worth.
Oh man.
Here's another one. The Bryce Harper extension. So this goes to mid-February. Do you think John Middleton will give Bryce Harper a contract extension in the next few years? Now, that's nebulous. You know, when it's defined, is that 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? 73% say yes, he'll get an extension in the next few years. Obviously, to this point, he has not. So we'll go through more. I mean, it's a fun exercise. As far as how many wins people thought the Eagles would get back in May, 12 or more got 39% of the votes. It was generally 10 or up. I mean, 9 or less was only 8% of the vote. So people nailed the Eagles being good. And look, no one foresaw them being, or at least we didn't have a poll that went as high as they might go 15 and freaking 2.
15 banger.
I mean, 15 and 2? You got to be kidding me.
Uh-huh.
All right, it's also tremendous. So we'll get through more of the polls as we go through the show. Also, more of what Eric Dickerson said about Saquon Barkley on our program about 2 weeks ago. We'll get to that reality. Obviously, coming down the stretch, Saquon's got a legitimate shot to break Dickerson's record. He joined us late in a program 2 weeks ago. So what he said, we'll get to that shortly. Let's get to Jason Kelce right now. He's in studio ready to rock. And, of course, got that sweater on. He's looking kind of festive right there. Garage beer.
Joe, who are you to evaluate the attire of,
listen,
of Jason?
Do you really want me to answer that question? I'll answer that question. I am.
Yeah, hammer!
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, the garage is always open. Jason's beer, garage beer, light beer like it used to be. Find garage beer at your local retailer. Or, of course, you can just get it at drinkgaragebeer.com. That website, drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
How are you, pal?
Good. Doing great.
Festive times, man.
Festive times all around. Yeah, no. Outstanding week for the birds. Holidays coming up.
How about
that? It's a great time to be in Philadelphia.
Isn't long has it been since you felt this like sprightly at this time of year? Like you physically feel less beat up right now than you have.
Yeah, no question.
In how long? I mean, we're talking decades.
Great school.
And how different is that?
Yeah, as long as I can remember. Yeah, even before football, I was playing hockey. So, you know, you're kind of always banged up,
just
and
like bleeding,
yeah,
and
exactly
bruised.
Yeah, yeah.
How much does that make you happier? Does that make this a cheerier time of year?
I don't know. It makes it honestly feel weird that I'm not playing football. To be honest with you, I think there's definitely a niceness that I'm not in that much pain. And you know, at this point in the season, you know, this late in the year, you're not having to worry about all of the like just aches and pains of, you know, 14 games. But I think that, I think that there's definitely things that, you know, you miss. There's things that just feel weird that you're not, like, scheduled to be, and, like, you're not working around something for Christmas. Like, you almost always are, like, what time's practice? Like, all that stuff kind of, I feel like, just feels like a little bit different this year.
You know, Jason, and it's funny, I could ask you if you missed the whole thing, but why skew negative? I mean, maybe you miss it on the lead up to a Super Bowl, but
for sure,
you know, I mean, I would imagine you do. I mean, these guys have a shot at glory that, you know,
I miss it. I mean, even if they were four and you know, even if they won four games, I'd miss it.
But I mean, it's got to be substantially
more
fun when you
football,
win, right?
Football when you're winning is more fun.
Yeah.
So you know how much these guys are enjoying being around each other. You know, I mean, I still go in the building occasionally and you can feel how excited everybody is. And, you know, football, when you're winning, is just a really, really fun sport. So is every sport, but football in particular, because the team is so, like, you know, you start becoming just such a great, tight-knit group of guys, coaches, all that stuff.
Jason, let's get to that as it relates to last week for a moment, because I got to tell you, you've seen everything here since 2010, 11? What year were you? 12?
Well, 2011 was my first year.
Okay, 2011. So, from my standpoint, I view what happened over the last roughly 10 days, whatever the heck it would be, nine days.
Yeah.
One of the most consequential Eagles regular season weeks I can ever remember. I really mean that. Like,
it's fair to say.
Team became stronger team. Offense may have become stronger, probably became stronger offense.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason, I think they took a monumental step in the last 7-8 days.
Yeah, and I mean, it could have gone completely the opposite way. I think, you know, whenever something like that happens where, you know, you have the passing game comments and then there's all this infighting supposedly referenced by BG, I think that, you know, I think whenever something like that happens, it usually goes one or two ways, right? It usually either galvanizes everybody and everybody comes closer because you're like, man, screw these outside guys. They don't know what's going on. And they're saying a bunch of things that is not indicative of who we are and what we're doing and what we can accomplish. Or, you know, it starts to fracture people And clearly, you know, the Eagles, to their credit, to the leadership, to all of those players and coaches, they rallied around this and they became better. And that's what is so crazy about that stuff. I used to really get frustrated when, you know, guys would say controversial things in the media, or somebody would say something that, you know, it's like, man, why'd you say that? Just keep that in the house.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the times that's true. You shouldn't say things, but I think sometimes it's a great way to be like, you know, they've probably been talking about fixing the passing game for weeks at this point, right? And saying that publicly all of a sudden puts a different onus on it, because guys are like, wow, now everybody knows. Now if we don't go out there and do well in the passing game, yeah, it's going to be another week of this. Yeah. So all of the coaches, all of the players, everybody, like, we have to really figure this thing out. And you apply more attention to it, even when you're not in the building. I just think, I mean, even from the opening drive, there was such a clear emphasis on correcting this. Jalen Hurts was getting the ball out with rhythm and timing that, you know, we've lacked in, for whatever reason, right? And I just thought it was a really, really good answer to something that is really, at this point, the only weakness for the Philadelphia Eagles. There's, or has been, over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Everything else, they have gotten so much better at. And to go out there and have a game like that against one of the best defenses in the NFL, in a response to all of the media criticism throughout the week, I thought was an incredibly strong sign for this football team as a group.
I thought it brings an interesting question too. This team is so good, you know, that it's hard to find a weakness. I was just wondering about your role too with Cam Jurgens, with Cam being so good, your role as a mentor at some point. You know, like, being on the outside looking in, it's just got to be so, like, holy cow, what else can this guy improve on? Like, what else can I do as a mentor? It's getting more and more difficult to even give him the good tips.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've given Cam, I think, all of the tips. I mean, there's probably some that only would come up watching tape and, like, you know, organically you'd be, oh yeah, because you don't remember all of them in your own head. You'd be, oh, I remember I did this this way or whatever. But I think Cam at this point is all just about experience and reps, right? Like, he's playing at a very high level, and the more he plays, the more he's going to continue to dominate. Like, the things that he, like, even in a game, he doesn't physically ever get overmatched. He's very strong. He's very good at the point of attack. The things that, you know, go wrong, and this is for any player as you're going throughout your career, are like, you know, the angle is just not quite there, or like the double team. And that was happening at the beginning of the season. There's been so much improvement up until this point of the year. He's played phenomenal. And I think that
He's getting the credit that he should be getting. No. I think Cam Jurgens, for some reason, is glossed over.
Well, because he's an offensive lineman. I mean, being honest.
But our offensive line gets a lot of attention.
No, I know. But look, there's Saquon Barkley, there's Jalen, there's AJ, there's the number one ranked defense.
Saquon does take a lot of it right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of star players on there. The defense is playing well. He's also on an offensive line, quite frankly. We have Jordan Mulata, Lane Johnson, Landon Dickerson. So it's hard. There's only so many people can write stories about, right? And there's a lot of narratives on the Eagles that are really interesting. I think also, you know, for me, something that really got my name out there was the highlight, like, kind of blocks at the second level. And he's had a bunch of them, but if he would have a few more of those, I think he would be having that conversation even more. We just haven't run some of those concepts with the frequency that we used to run them when
But that's the thing, like, from an outside perspective.
He can do them, and he's done them.
From an outside perspective, the fact that you were able to snap it, you know, shotgun snap, and then you become the point of attack. Like, you are leading on the
You're making the block that ends up springing the running back.
And it's very you're apparent, the fullback.
And it was very apparent when I did it, because I was out in the second level in the open field. It's like, wow, did you just see that block? People don't notice all the other blocks that the offensive lines are making throughout it. But I was very fortunate to have a lot of those plays called and to be put in that position that I was good at, but that also, like, stuck out to people's heads. For some reason, I don't think they've called those plays with the frequency they used to call them. Mm. Like the draws, I would do that a lot on the quarterback draws, and now they've kind of let that go. Now it's kind of seems like it's coming back a little bit. We'll see.
Over time, the announcers also highlighted yours.
And then,
you know,
of course,
maybe not as much year one, but certainly as it got going.
That's the other thing. This is his first year really being a dominant center. He'll continue to get more praise and credit as his career goes.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Jason with us for an hour. Of course, getting near Christmas and Hanukkah. Great time of the year. Amazing to have the Birds at 12-2, a 10-game winning streak. One that, you know, probably will end in the regular season with a 13-game winning streak. Probably. And then could get as high as a 17-game winning streak if they go all the way to the Super Bowl, or 16, depending on if they get the bye or not. So it's an amazing time to be an Eagles fan. A lot of talk today amongst us here on the show. What gives you the greatest confidence? What specific aspect of this team?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're the league. Gives you the greatest confidence that this really could be the year, again, like it was in 2017, to see the Eagles hoist Vince, put that Lombardi thing up there. Look, to me, the number one thing that gives me confidence is the number one defense. That is, and in particular, because it will get harder in the postseason, and, you know, you will face, who knows exactly who, but probably some combination of players like Jordan Love, who does worry me, he's very good. And then obviously, you know, the Detroit offense, I know they lost the one running back, but they still got a big offense. And then in the Super Bowl, presumably either Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Like, that's tough, man. So having the number one defense is big. All right, let's go to the phones. Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gang. How's everybody?
Doing great, Mike.
Good.
Excellent. Yo, Jason, you know what I wanted to ask him? So you being also a hockey guy, who was your hockey team when you were a kid growing up there in Ohio?
This is going to feel... So
I know,
better not say the Rangers.
No,
I was thinking Red Wings.
No, I know nothing Philadelphia level. It just is.
Well,
like,
it's all, if it ain't us, it ain't cool.
Well, it's not also it's so
the Blackhawks.
It's nothing that's going to upset people. It's just I don't like that I rooted. There was no team in Cleveland, right? So I had to pick a team from anywhere on the map.
And
I love Peter Forsberg. He was my favorite player.
The Avalanche.
So I became a Colorado Avalanche fan. I loved Patrick Wall. That era of Avalanche hockey.
They were great. Yeah,
they were so good. So. You know, Joe Sakic.
That's okay.
Rob Blake.
I thought that was going to be way worse when
Ray Bork came over there at the end of his career. Sure. The Stanley Cup. It was a
very Boston had a parade for him. Remember that?
I do remember that.
It was crazy. Patrick Waugh, right, cool. It was a Chris Osgood fighting at like the red line.
Dude.
The goaltenders going at it. That was
an all timer.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I was just hoping to not hear Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I will admit, I did love those Pittsburgh teams. Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr were incredible.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Ron Francis still gives me nightmares
for 92. There you go.
So, all right. So what I love about this team is, like, they just have such a unique mix of, A, they're healthy, okay?
Yep.
They are so angry. They are so focused. They are bullies. Not only are they bullies, they're bullies at every single level on both sides of the ball. Bullies. But not only just bullies, they're the most elite skilled players in the NFL with a bully attitude that's angry. They're healthy. They're focused. I mean, I don't know what else needs to go into this recipe to have potentially the best team of all time in Philadelphia.
Well, that's a little far because from what I've seen, it's the 83 Sixers, but they're up there. I mean, this team's up there. I'd still put them.
Football-wise, I mean, I'm talking football.
Look, they got a shot. They got a shot. I'll say that. Mike, give me a big-time answer. A tough choice in a movie or a show, something fictional.
All right. In the movie Alive, when the plane crashed and they had to resort to cannibalism to stay alive.
Oh, yeah.
So, James, was that based on a real-life story?
It's
also?
A real story, sadly. So I gotta, yeah, so it
I
doesn't
cross
count.
It yeah. Fictional! John, Jason, you know the difference between fiction and, like, real life, right? I just want to make sure.
I still, in my head, get fiction and nonfiction mixed up. So I'm glad that you went to fiction in real life. That always helps me. But yes, I do know the difference.
That's
just
pretty good.
Don't call it nonfiction.
That's exactly. Good. Hey, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red Tag Bonus Cash is back at Armin Chevrolet. In stock now, the three-row Chevy Traverse. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. You know, Jason, the NBA is getting lampooned this week, and they should. I mean, the freaking tournament thing, whatever, the cup, that was stupid.
Yeah.
The courts look dumb. There's so many issues, right? Ratings are way down.
The stupid cup.
So, Jason, we've boiled issues down in the NBA to three. Curious your answer of which of these, because our Twitter poll, everyone can weigh in on at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and on the phone lines.
Yeah.
Speaks to biggest problem in the NBA. We've got it to three right now. A, stars changing teams, super teams. And that encapsulates, like, people sit out if they're not, like, I refuse to play for you or I'll be a malcontent for the next month until you trade me. Like, everything related to stars under contract dictating so much. Choice B, players miss too many games, which is obviously rampant. It's beyond belief. Yep. Choice C, a style of play, too many three-pointers. It's just not as fun to watch an actual game. Three-pointer is probably the biggest aspect, but there are others. Which of them hits you the most as the biggest problem?
I think the biggest problem is that they're playing too many games, and that results in B happening. I think that if you're playing so many games that your players can't play every game, you shouldn't play that many games.
Well, let me tell you where I disagree with you right out of the gate.
All right, go ahead.
It was 82 games 20 years ago. It was 82 games 40 years ago. It was 82 games 60 years ago.
All right.
I don't think it's the games. I think it's their approach to the games.
But there's been a competitive and a reasonable adaptation that's been made through the NBA to realize that it's advantageous to not play every game.
Well, for sure. No, that's right. It's a change in the approach. I hear. Look,
in my opinion, since they're not playing every game,
yep.
How can we as a league get them to play every game? And the answer is simple. They're not going to go back to playing every game because there's an advantage to not playing every game. From whatever, you know,
that advantage
science,
may not be real, though. It may
not
be perceived.
But every team they believe has adopted
it.
This.
They believe it.
I don't know whether that's true or not. All right. I know is, as an NBA and as a fan, I want the star players playing every game.
Yeah.
What's the way to fix that without having to worry about all this other stuff? Play less games.
So here's my other counter to that, because I hear that from a lot of people. Here's my other counter. Let's say they go from 80 to 60. They're not going to go to 35. They got to make money. You got to have a product out there for multiple months. Let's just say they go to 60 games.
Yeah.
John, do you think players want rest in a 60-game schedule? It's still rest. No.
Well,
I mean, Jason, don't you
sure.
think the Paul Georges
but they'd
of the world?
Rest less.
I don't know, man. You play 60 games, a guy that's 30 years old might choose to play 48.
Yeah, I'll admit, I don't know at what level guys are not going to rest and at what level it's like, okay, this is enough time. Like, is it 1 to 2 games a week once you get into that third game a week? I think that it would have to be, I would really talk to the individuals who are dictating these rest schedules and what is the optimization of, like, you know, too much for the athlete and too little. But I think that that's the biggest thing to me, because I think at the end of the day, when players aren't playing, there's no more for sure this game doesn't matter than when your star player isn't playing the game.
I
agree. So why as a viewer would I tune in
I agree.
If the game doesn't even matter to you guys?
I'm with you. And James, the salaries being guaranteed, and I get it, it's been what it's always been, but it's why the players feel they can, there's no incentive to play.
Totally. And then the salary just keeps going up and up and up with these TV deals, regardless of what the ratings are.
That's actually a very interesting thing that the NBA, instead of doing less games, rework, and this would require some work with the union, which would be a whole problem.
They got to bust them up. I'm just telling you, the commissioner, and I know, yeah, Jason, you were a union member.
Make incentivized contracts. Make it, like, listen, you're paid per game. If you want to sit out games, that's great, but you're not getting the same money.
It just would never happen.
Yeah, you're right. It's, I don't even know why we're talking about this.
Look, I'll just tell you this. As an NBA fan,
the union would throw their body in front of it.
But, James, you know what? As an NBA fan, I would...
I agree. I think it's a great idea.
I would rather the NBA doesn't have a season, and the commissioner takes a hard stand, then just let this go for the next 20 years.
You're talking lockout.
The problem with the incentivized contract...
Have some guts, man. Have guts.
Lockouts are bad for the sport.
But James, this can't continue and get the NBA back on track. The ratings are tanking. It's a disaster. Anyway, I don't want to talk too much truth, but I just wanted to put that out there.
The incentive thing is that it then opens up all these like can of worms of like, okay, what if a guy's injured? All of a sudden he's going to be penalized because he got injured.
Jason, do you know that...
What's an injury? And then guys are going to start faking injuries just so they can still get the rest. And
do you know that Joel makes about four times as much this year as Saquon Barkley?
I did not know that. Good for Joel. Very happy for my good friend Joel. I don't know what to say to that. I mean, it's kind of crazy thinking about that. But I mean, this is the way the world of sports works, right? Like somebody on a rookie contract is going to ball out, and he's not making anywhere near. So, but yeah, I think Saquon should probably be getting more, I guess.
I would say that's easier to pallet that than Bryce Huff.
Well, that's a whole nother one. That's another
Bryce Huff who's practicing again. So yeah.
The window has been opened.
All right, let's get back to the phone. So you want to comment on the NBA thing, feel free. But obviously the Eagles, the big thing, they got a legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl. And we're asking today, what pumps you up the most? What gives you the most confidence that this really might be the year? Let's talk to Chuck in Mount Airy. Chuck, good morning, buddy.
Joe, John, morning team, Shelts, what's going on?
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, I want to say thank you to Jason for giving us a gift. You know, we don't miss him as much as I thought we would. Cam Jurgens is a terrific player.
I'm talking about a backhanded compliment right there.
I thought we would miss him a lot more on the field. I mean, Cam Jurgens is a terrific player, man. He really is. I'm happy we got him on our team. You know, what a great replacement. But thank you, Jason, for that. I appreciate you scouting him out, man. He plays something like you.
Yeah, he's phenomenal, and I think that, you know, I get credit for it a lot. I think it's probably unfair. It's Jeff Stoutland and all the scouts with the Eagles really put a lot of work into that. They had me watch a number of players, and I think everybody in the organization unanimously was very high on Cam. So I think that, you know, sometimes they just let the older guys sometimes look at some tape to be like, hey, you know, who do you like? And we really like this guy. So I think, you know, Cam, I was not concerned at center. I wasn't. You know, I think, and whenever you're going in there for their first couple games, there's going to be some like growing and learning moments, but that usually happens pretty quickly, especially for a guy that's really smart and a guy that's played already a full season when he played guard the year before. I was more concerned about right guard and who was going to play that spot. And there was that training camp battle between Tyler Steen and Mekhi Becton. And I think both of those guys had injuries, and it felt like nobody was really claiming that spot. And that was the one spot where I'm like, man, this is going to, it's an important piece of this unit. And to see how much Mekhi has flourished.
Have you ever seen a guy that big
at guard?
Do guard.
That's
this
a big
well.
Question. I mean, well, that's
that I've was, never heard of this.
Yeah, that was.
Is he bigger than Jordan Mailata? Like, I think physically,
well, height
he
wise,
might actually
probably
be
he's
taller.
He's wider for sure.
Yeah, he might not be as heavy as Nate Newton was, but Nate Newton was shorter.
Yeah.
Right.
Nate Newton was big.
I think he. You know, he. It's rare that a guy that long cut can.
Yeah, we got a massive, massive offensive line, and I appreciate him so much. But listen, what gives me the confidence here, besides the number one defense, I'm with you on that one, Joe. The number one defense gives me confidence. That's obvious, though. But what gives me confidence is what happened last week. We got our 30-for-30 moment. You know, every great team, whether it's the Tuck Rule, whether it's the last dance with the Chicago Bulls, whether it was the 2017 Birds, we all we need. You know what I mean? We got our 30-for-30 moment. So when that happened last week, that just clicked in my head. And I said, you know what? We're going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Chuck, give me an answer. That's a great comment there, man. Give me what was the tough choice in a movie? You can win the gift card.
Well, when Jack gave that board to Rose, I know I wouldn't have been able to do that.
The problem is, I don't think it was that tough. What? No, see, well, no, she's just. Here's the thing.
He's like, I'll let you live, I will die, was basically what happened.
Here's why it's not a hard choice, because there was room for both of them. You're a gentleman, you let her on first, and then you get on second. She screwed up.
Yeah, he needed to fight harder. Just, yeah, share.
She screwed up. She
or take turns in the water, maybe.
Yeah, it's outrageous. And Jason, what was she thinking? Options. And then Jason, her final words.
What are we talking about right
Titanic.
Now?
At the end of Titanic, yeah, when Rose just lets Jack sink.
Jason, yeah, her final words to him are, "I'll never let go, Jack."
Yeah, and then
I'll never let go. And then literally, let's go.
You let go.
Listen, this is what we sign up for as men. We get a lot of great things in this society. We get to have a lot of fun. We don't have to bear children. The one caveat to being a man, if it comes down to life and death, you're going. Right? That's the one.
Like, thank you for mentioning that, Jason. I appreciate that.
Very well said. Of course, I'd be with Hockley. I'd be like, I'm the father of this child. The child needs me. Make way.
The technicality.
James, I feel like if I saw... throwing people off the lifeboat.
James, if I saw that actor, I feel like I'd punch him.
Billy Zane?
Whoever that guy is.
Oh, yeah, Billy.
Such a horse's ass in that movie. All right, it's an anniversary today. It's a pretty cool one. Matter of fact, it's a very cool one. All right, James, I know you know, and Rhea, you know. Jason, it is shortly before you arrived with the Eagles.
Yes.
It is an anniversary today in Philadelphia sports. Do you have a guess of what it is? You've probably seen this highlight, if I had to guess, 50 times, but maybe 100, maybe more. Maybe less.
I'm going to assume it's Miracle in the Meadowlands 2.
Let's find out which anniversary day it is. It was just wild. Everyone knows the story. You know, yeah. I won't give you the full recap, but the basic thing is down 31-10. Vic goes wild. See, that's the thing. Vic has gotten shortchanged in this because Deshaun final play.
100%.
Dude, Vic went for 8 minutes. Down 21 points for 8 minutes.
He's
as good
a quarterback as ever played.
That was
for
crazy.
8 minutes, yeah.
And by the way, Andy had an onside kick down 14 points. A lot of people might forget that. Macklin had a TD. Hmm. Vic had a TD. Brent Celek had a tremendous TD with a beautiful. It might have been Vic's best pass ever.
An onside kick that was recovered.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. It went from 30.
Who recovered it?
Don't know. Eagle player.
Well, you found the hole in his knowledge.
We did an onside kick and recovered it, and then converted that into points immediately.
It was with 8 minutes to go, so the Giants didn't expect it.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, a great moment in awesome. Philadelphia sports. All right, so we hope a great moment is coming up, well, in 2 months with a Super Bowl. We also hope in 3 weeks. We'll see. Saquon certainly got a legitimate shot here to break Dickerson's record. So let's give you the update where things stand, and then I'm going to play the audio of Eric Dickerson talking about Saquon and the whole thing as Saquon's getting close. But took a step back last week, obviously now off the pace of Dickerson. So after the 65, I think it was 65 last week for Saquon, he is at 65. All right. So he's at 1688. 1688 through 14 games. Dickerson got to 2105, 2105. Saquon is currently on pace for 2049. So right now, Saquon is 56 yards behind the pace needed to get to 2105. Put another way, he needs 139.3. You can think of it as 140. Yeah. He needs 140 a game for the final three. Now, before we play the audio of Dickerson, let me just ask you, Jason. They lean on Saquon a lot. They could a little more, but they, I think, try not to run him totally into the ground. Do you think that Nick will do the little bit extra leaning or not?
I don't think he will. I hope he does.
You hope he does.
Yeah, I've been on record with this. You know, I really want them to try and make an effort to get this record. I think to me, obviously the Super Bowl is the pinnacle and the ultimate goal, but I think the rushing title record is the coolest record in the NFL. And the fact that this offensive line, Jeff Stoutland and Saquon Barkley, have a chance to obtain that is pretty remarkable. It's a record that really doesn't get touched in the modern game, especially.
40 years. Literally 40 years.
There have been a few backs that have been close, you know, like Jamal Lewis. Like, I'm trying to Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
So, like,
CJ2K.
Yeah, but it's very rare in this league now that you see guys going above the two-bill mark. And I think it would just be really awesome for Philadelphia to have that record. So I hope that they do. And listen, I think this is probably the week you know, don't want to give up game plan. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. But, you know, if you really dedicate to trying to get him a big day this week, that can lighten the load for the next two games.
Totally.
So, you know, I hope that they come out despite what, you know, we're trying to fix the passing game. I really hope they come out and blow the doors off with a really big game for Saquon this week.
All right, so let's hear from Eric Dickerson. He was with us late in a program a couple weeks ago, and we're cognizant, you know, if you drive to work at this time, you may not have heard this interview. So two pieces of audio we want to play. By the way, reminder, there's three different tremendous achievements Saquon can still get, and it's not all the big one.
Yeah.
There is 2,000 yards. There is MVP. And there is breaking Dickerson's record.
Only eight people have gotten 2,000 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still pretty special totally. Just to hit that.
I don't think he gets MVP unless he breaks that record.
Right.
Agree with you, Jason.
Probably correct.
And I think that would be the one thing that would put him potentially in the conversation. He might not even get if he does that.
Yeah, I think Allen might win no matter what.
Allen's played the last few weeks. But I think if he gets that record and the Eagles clinch the bye in the first seed in the NFC, I don't know how you don't give it to him. I think that he breaks a 40-year-old record. Yeah. Clearly was a reason we won multiple games
Tons.
To get to the number one seed. So if both those things happen, I think he has a chance to still get in the MVP, but we'll see if that happens.
All right.